This week's Parsha, Parsha's Hachemos, Pasuk in Perek Yuches, Pasuk He, says, Ushmartem es chukosai, should guard my chukim, mis mishpatai, my laws, asher yaseh, some adam, that when a person will do them, v'chai bohem, he will live by them, ani Hashem, I'm Hashem. And Rashi tells us, v'chai bohem means olam haba, that he'll stay with him forever. So I saw a very beautiful idea there of a friend. Says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Chai Bahem means Chai Bahem Shelo Yomus Bahem, that you should live by them and not die by them, meaning that we all know that a person should not give up his life generally for a mitzvah, except for, as we know, the big three of Avodah Zarah, Shfichus Damim, and Gilui Arayos. So Rabbi Ephraim brings down from the Igros Moshe Feinstein that Rabbi Moshe said that there's an incorrect, there's a misconception around this, that people believe that this means that life is more valuable somehow than mitzvahs themselves. Why? Because you see that you don't give up your life for stam a mitzvah. So Moshe says that really it's not the case, that that Targum Onkelos says that you should live through them in the world to come. Meaning that what? It's telling us to stay alive in order, what? That we should be zocha to more mitzvahs, to doing more good for the world, to bringing more mitzvahs into the world. So the pasuk is telling us that what the most precious thing in life is keeping alive in order to do mitzvahs. But it's not in order to live just to live. It's in order to live specifically in order that we should be able to partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in bringing mitzvahs to the world and bringing goodness to the world. So I remember something that touched me very much, that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, a Rav in Shul in Lakewood, is also a Mechaber many Svarim, that he said over, I heard him speak, and he told everyone that we should all buy this book called The Holy Woman. And in the book, the story is basically of a woman, it's written by a woman who is traveling, searching for spirituality, for ruchnias. And she meets a woman who is a Holocaust survivor in Mea Sharim, I believe it was. And when she meets her, she was very taken aback, not expecting that this was the woman who is the epitome of ruchnias in her mind. And the woman, when she met her, she asked her about her experience in the Holocaust, and the woman told her that when she was in Auschwitz, her first day there, someone pointed to the chimneys and said, "Those are your parents." And she said to this woman who was not yet Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, she said to her, "Auschwitz was not a bad place." So this woman was very taken aback, understandably so, and said to her, "Did I hear you correctly? What does that mean? How could Auschwitz not be a bad place? It's the worst place in the world." So she said, "No, actually, the ashram in which you were living, that is a bad place." She said, "A bad place is a place where you didn't have the ability to do mitzvahs and choose not to. But in Auschwitz, we did not have the ability to do mitzvahs, but we did them anyways. That is not a bad place. A bad place, by definition, is only a place where Yidden could do mitzvahs and choose not to." And you see from here this concept of the Chai Bohem, that this person, this holy woman, this holy Rebbetzin, that she understood in the deepest way what it means, the Chai Bohem. Makes me think of a Maisa that I saw in a book written about Rav Eliyashiv, a book called The Gadol Hador, and in it they tell a story that Rav Eliyashiv was in the hospital. And the doctors told him that he shouldn't, he was very old at the time, and his heart, I guess, was not in great condition, and he himself asked him not to learn for an hour or so. And as the doctor was leaving the room, the machine started to go off. So they came back in, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong, and they were very nervous, and they tried to this and that, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was, until the doctor chapped what had happened. that when he told the Rav Yashiv that he couldn't learn for that time period, that was a much greater stress to him than having him actually learn at his age. So the doctor told him, no, you could learn, you could learn. And when he told him he could learn, the machines went back to normal. This is a person of Kihim Chayin Verch Yamenu, of Vachai Bahem, as the Pasuk tells us, that his whole life is about Torah, that there's nothing else in the world except for that. And I saw a very beautiful idea also written by Rav Zilberstein. He brings down in Baharivna. There's also, I saw it, I remember many years ago, and there's a book called Amen, I believe, where it talks about the power of what an Amen is. And Rav Zilberstein brings down in Baharivna, in I think the second volume, that it tells a story over that in a hospital in Bnei Brak, there was a senior doctor from the U.S., who came from a not Tardic environment, and he became a Baal Tshuva, and he tells over how he became a Baal Tshuva. And he said that he was a doctor treating a patient who was very sick, and they told the patient that and the family that he could have a very difficult, painful operation, but it would only extend his life about 6 months. And it was a very difficult decision. It would cost them a lot of money also whether or not they should have the operation done. So the person who was told about this, he said, I can't make this decision alone. I have to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, only he'll be able to answer this question. So the doctor said, let me come with you to explain to him, you know, all of the details. So they went together and he said, I'll never forget the response. He said, Rav Moshe simply broke out in tears. For some time he wept with sincere, bitter tears. He explains, as a doctor, you're used to creating a separation emotionally between, you know, oneself to stay objective and the patient. But to see someone like Rav Moshe Feinstein, who dealt with hundreds and thousands of people, you know, on a, so often, to be touched in such a way by the Shaila, he was so amazed that such a person felt so deeply for another person. And Rav Moshe said to him, give me a day to think it over. When they came back the next day, Rav Moshe greeted them, and with a calm confidence, he said, go ahead with the operation. We will all daven that you will live. So the skepticism. So Rav Moshe turned to him and said, during the 6 months you predict he will live, he'll say Amen to many brachos. From every Amen, an angel is created, which will advocate on his behalf before the heavenly court. In their merit, he will live for many more years. And that's what happened, that he did. Apparently, he lived for many more years. And the point is, though, that you see from Moshe Feinstein that it was all worth it for this person to go through the operation, even that he should be able to say Amen a few more times in his life. And not only that, but you see something else. You see that when the Torah tells us that Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lahem ani Hashem lekeichem, and he tells them that I'm Hashem, and you should act in my ways, and go in our ways, and b'chuko sam lo selechu, and don't go in anyone else's ways, in the ways of the world around you, only go in the Torah way. You see that not only is it the right thing to do, but you see that it's the truth, that the world actually is affected by the Torah, that the Zohar famously says that istakal baraiso bara amla, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. And you see from this maisa that Rav Moshe Feinstein, that he recognized that the Amens themselves have a koach that's of a different nature, that's able to affect even the natural world in such a way. And I just want to end with one last point. The Psukim, in this parak, they say that, as I mentioned, that Kemais Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Sasu, Kemais Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sasu B'chuk Osem Lo Selechu, not to go in their ways. And I think in a similar way, we should have a self-confidence and appreciation for the depth and the beauty and the koach of Torah, and not to have to look around us for validation, for what's true and what's right and what's good. And the dafka in these times, it's very difficult, that there's a lot of ideas and values that are thrown around as if they are true, as if they're correct, as if they're ethical. And the Torah is the place of ethics. The Torah is the place of guidance. The Torah is the only place, as it explains to us, And we have to all get our strength from there and all get our vision and our clarity. And with that, us too, that we should be zochad to kihim chayin v'yachronu, that v'chay bohem, that we should live from it. And we should merit also both a life in this world as well as a life in the world to come.